Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. This is our Annoying Things in Pop Culture Part 2. My name is Chris Lockhart. I am your host this evening. And joining me, I got both my co-hosts here this evening. First up, Mr. Jason Roberts. How's it going, Jason?
I'm pretty good.
Excellent. How about you? I'm doing all right. And last but not least, we have Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
Hello, everyone. Welcome me as an official second co-host. Thank you, Chris, for that graphic.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you for joining us. No, this is excellent. I'm very happy to have two excellent co-hosts. And both of you are here this evening, so that's awesome that that there's three of us. And this is a franchise topic. I'm pretty sure. I think Jason, it was Jason Rich and I the first time that tackled this topic. And now we're coming around to the end of the year, so I figured why not do this again. So we're talking annoying things in pop culture. In part one, just to refresh everyone's memories, some of the things that we talked about was recasting unnecessarily in TV and film. Bullying / toxic fandom, secrets and plot lines, lazy people, and empty cities in animation, and last but not least, lens flares. All right, well, let's kick it off. Let's go around the table, and I asked the gentleman to each bring two items that they wanted to talk about. I know I've got two and some... I was going to say honorable mentions, but I will call it dishonorable mentions. All right. Well, Kevin, why don't you kick it off? What's one of your annoying things in pop culture?
Okay. This has been an ongoing rant for a couple months now. So my wife will be glad that I'm giving someone else the rant. She doesn't have to hear it again. Previous to recording, the two of us were having a discussion with Jason about his job. Mm-hmm. And anything we asked him, he answered. Even if it wasn't directly related to his specific place of employment, within his field, he was answering questions. Mm-hmm. So what bothers me, there's a rock radio station in the area. Usually... this would be my favorite station, but I'm kind of aware of their limited playlist at this point. Everyone plays the same stuff. You got to promote the new concert, the new song, fine. What kills me is it used to be my favorite morning show until I realize they are not rock people on a rock station. They are DJs on a rock station. There's a difference. I expect anyone that works at a higher level in a field to have a knowledge of that field. Mm-hmm. So if you work for a rock radio station and there's a big concert with tens of thousands of people going to it, even if your station is not the one promoting that concert, you should maybe know the band and some songs. Just a thought. They had one of their frequent guests come in, and he said, oh, I went to this great concert last night in the same town. Well, who is it? So he gives the band name. Never heard of it. Band's been around 20, 30 years. Okay. And this has happened numerous times of, oh, I've never heard of it before. I don't know what this is. I'm not saying that anyone needs to enjoy it, to be super fans, to be obsessed. But, like, last episode, Chris, you were saying you had not yet read Watchmen.
No,
but you are aware of it and always have been.
Yep.
And you're not even a comic professional. You're just a comic fan. But you're aware of this is a big thing.
Yes.
So, you know, of the big ones, you're going to be aware of. And that's just as a fan. Even though you have negative feelings of Star Trek Discovery... you know of it. You know what's going on. You can give someone information. And that's not even your job. That's just something you're a fan of.
Yep.
It would be, and I'm sure this would bother you as well, but if you turned on, you know, I don't know, let's say Paramount and Star Trek had an official Star Trek podcast, mm-hmm. and someone's on it, they're like, oh, I've never watched an episode of Voyager, then why are you on that podcast and getting paid for it?
So, bottom line is, whatever profession you're in, if you are working in a field of work, you should know something about that field.
You should know what's going on in your field.
Okay. Yes.
You should.
Absolutely agree.
You should 100%. Have knowledge of your own field. You should not just be there to cash a check. If you're entry level minimum wage, just doing, you know, you just walked in the door, I'm not expecting that. But when you're at a higher level, you need to know what's going on in that world. Or else I'm going to have a negative opinion towards you and think you're ignorant, and that's going to affect my opinion of your whole product.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're seeing that in a lot of other fields as well. For example, today I saw a meme on Facebook about Kathleen Kennedy, the lady that runs Lucasfilm for Disney. Mm-hmm. And the meme is her making a comment about that it takes a long time to come up with ideas for Star Wars films. And then below her picture is, I think it's Will Smith, like from a movie or something, him pointing at all the expanded universe novels. Like now that they're calling legends. You know, it's like you have all this awesome source material that you could pull from, but you guys are choosing not to. And I think it's really a detriment to Star Wars as a whole, you know? And that's just one example. I know one field that I see this in a lot, like you're talking about DJs and stuff. I'm not the biggest sports guy, right? But I do watch some sports, and there's a sports channel up in Canada. I'm not going to name which one it is, but they have this habit of hiring very attractive female sportscasters who don't seem to know anything about the sport. Like you could tell that they don't actually like know what they're talking about. Like they're just reading the lines, and then you know when something's you know, impromptu thrown out there at them, they kind of stumble because, you know, basically the gist of it is they're being hired for their looks, not for their knowledge base. And, you know, I just think that's too bad. Like, I imagine there's plenty of, you know, sports broadcasters out there that would love to be in that position and would actually give, you know, good feedback. But you know, they hire the pretty ones, right?
And there's many women that are certainly fans and could do that job.
Oh, yeah.
And the New York Yankees have had a woman broadcaster for years, and she's fantastic at her job.
Yep.
WWE has Renee Young, who arguably is, like, one of their best ones right now. And they're knowledgeable of the product, and they can hold their own with any guy, you know, or a big sports guy.
Yep,
absolutely. So you can have both.
Yep.
But you're right, the concentration is, oh, well, look at her. Okay, well, after 2 seconds of looking at her, can she speak? Can mm-hmm. she say which ones? And this goes for the guys, too.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
He used to play, but he's dumber than bricks in front of the camera. So I don't see what the point is of having him on camera either.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, watching football sometimes, like I know they'll bring like ex-football players on, and some of them are like, really, you know, you can tell these guys, like, they played the game, but they don't really know much about it. You know, they know how to catch the ball, they know how to run with the ball, and they don't really have much to add. But anyway, that's excellent start to this there, Kevin. All right, well, I will throw one out there. I'll go next. Speaking of TV channels, and I know you guys can relate. I should point this out. I'm from Canada. You guys are from the United States, for anyone who's listening to this podcast for the first time. But I know you guys have the exact same problem. So genre TV channels. My issue is genre TV channels not actually showing shows from their genre. Mm-hmm. Now what I'm talking about here, and I recently noticed this, up in Canada, our sci-fi channel, which was for years called Space, for I think 21, 22 years that it was on the air, it was Space. For a while, in the beginning, it was known as Space the Imagination Station, and then it just became known as Space. It was bought by CTV, one of the networks, a few years ago, and it has since been rebranded CTV's Sci-Fi Channel. And, you know, our comedy channel, it was previously called Comedy Network, has now been rebranded CTV's Comedy Network. And you get the point. Like they're rebranding all these channels to, you know, show that they're CTV. So anyway, I'm flipping through the channels, and I flip to CTV Sci-Fi Channel, and they're having a Rocky marathon. And I'm scratching my head. I'm like, you know I've watched these, you know, like in the past I've seen these movies, you know, like I remember my parents watching them when I was a kid. I know enough of them. Where's the sci-fi factor here? What's the sci-fi element of a Rocky movie? You know,
Polly has a robot.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that is true.
Minute
robot scene.
the robot from Rocky IV. That is true. And I was thinking maybe Dolph Lundgren. You know, he did play He-Man. Burgess Meredith, you know, he did play the Penguin in the original Batman. Maybe. But yeah, so there was that one. And then Monday night, there was, I don't know, it was like a White House themed marathon. They showed White House Down, Executive Decision, and Air Force One. So that was on the lineup on CTV's Sci-Fi Channel. Now, what do any of these movies have to do with science fiction? Like, in the last few years, when they were still, you know, the Space Channel, they started showing Castle. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that series.
Yeah.
With Nathan Fillion, right?
Yeah.
Other than the Nathan Fillion connection, and I know, like, they've had... Like, on that show, like, I know Jonathan Frakes, I think, you know, guest starred on an episode as himself. I think he directed a few episodes. Other than that, I have no idea what Castle has to do with science fiction. And it just drives me nuts that we have these specialty channels that show other stuff. And, you know, and I know you guys are going to, you know, you guys can relate because I know Sci-Fi Channel in the States... was kind of doing the same thing, or still was doing the same thing. I'm not entirely sure. Like, I know at one point they had wrestling on the Sci-Fi Channel in the States.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know what...
Twice. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not really making the connection between wrestling and science fiction. But it just drives me nuts. Like, there's plenty of other channels you could have a Rocky marathon on. You know, and I mean, if it's really that bad that you need... put non-science fiction shows on a science fiction channel, then maybe we shouldn't have a science fiction channel. If you can't get enough viewers to justify that, then why are we having it? But anyway, did either of you have anything to add before we move on to Jason's?
I could add something, but Jason hasn't talked yet if he wants to add first.
Oh, no, you can go for it.
So, to go back to the wrestling one for a moment, because of course I know this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
WWE Raw has a long-term deal with USA Network.
Yeah.
They wanted to bring back the ECW brand that they bought mm-hmm. out.
Yep.
USA passed, they agreed to do it on Sci-Fi, which is owned by USA.
Yep.
But Sci-Fi wanted Sci-Fi content, so there was a zombie, there was a vampire, there was all sorts of stuff they tried.
Yeah.
And eventually gave up on this, said, screw it, it's just wrestling. And there is, you know, if you do a Venn diagram, there is crossover audiences. So by the time they put SmackDown on Sci-Fi years later, everyone just said, yeah, whatever, close enough. But you're right, though, because a lot of them are sharing, you know, their umbrella company buys up all the rights to this content, these movies, these TV shows, wherever, and then they need to put it somewhere. So they put it on this science fiction channel, yours or mine, where it doesn't fit, but we have the content, so we have to use it. All right, in that case, like in the States, there's a channel called C-SPAN that plays congressional meetings, and they have a C-SPAN 2 and 3 as well for other meetings. All right, well, if USA Network wants to air wrestling on Sci-Fi and, you know, Castle on your science fiction channel, whatever, then have it be USA 1, USA 2, USA 3. If it's just extensions of the main brand, we don't need to come up with pretend names to pretend it's something different when it's not. But also, with digital, even if you don't have cable and you just have the new bunny ears to get a digital signal, you have all these, you know, oh, tune in for channel 10.5, you know, and all sorts of stuff like that, plus thousands of spots if you have cable. You can have a channel easily. I mean, other than your initial, oh, we need the rights to this bundle of content, then all you got to do is sell ads. So, you know, if you want to do a Sci-Fi one, old episodes of some Sci-Fi show is not going to cost you that much. Even if you're pulling in, you know, just a small rating, it's still something. And then make it destination programming. When either Sci-Fi channel or other channels of G4, when we had that channel, it was, this is my new background channel. I'm going to put this channel on and just leave it on there all day, no matter what's playing. Which you would think any channel would want. Yeah. You know, their demographics of, oh, when people turn into our station, they stay for 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. That's for the advertisers. Yeah. You guarantee that person's not changing the channel. You'd think they'd want that.
That is true. Jason, did you have anything to add?
No. Pretty much covered that one.
All right. Well, let's move on to yours. What's your first annoying thing in pop culture?
It's kind of the current state of the PC. Just that whole accusatory thing of accusing people, like, accusing them of something, and it gets all over social media. Everyone, it's like, goes on this bandwagon of like, replace them, ban them from whatever else. But at the same time, it's like, it's that whole innocent until proven guilty thing. And like, a good case, good example, two examples would be, what's it, Hawkeye. He plays Hawkeye.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. Like the whole thing.
Jeremy
Renner,
not Alan Alda.
There you go. You know, I don't know if you guys read this at all, but it was just kind of like he's going through some type of divorce or something like that, and his wife or ex-wife is claiming like he tried to kill her, or he was threatening to kill her or something like that, and some big, huge, crazy thing. And he hasn't said anything at all, which is probably smart. But at the same time, it's like everyone's like, oh, cancel his show, replace him, who can replace him, blah blah blah, take him out of everything. And it's just kind of like, but nothing was proven yet. Like, it's like the other example I have was like George Takei, when the whole Me Too thing really came out and started really taking off. Like, he was being accused of all the sexual harassment and everything else, but up until a few months after, it was all revealed that it wasn't true. But during that time, everyone dropped him like a hot rock, and it was just like, no, what are you doing? You know, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, there is some people out there that are highly questionable, but, you know, like the Harveys, and you have your Kevin Spaceys, and, you know, but it's just, well, even with Kevin Spacey, some of his trials were dropped. Some people reneged on what they said, but But it's that mentality of people just jumping on this bandwagon and just putting them up on a pedestal, shooting first and ask questions later type deal, you know, and that's,
yeah.
It really drives me nuts. And it's even to the point where it's like I'm contemplating on deleting all my social medias. You know, I'm just like, I'm tired of, it's like I love some of my friends, but then there's some of them where it's just kind of like, you really can't be serious, like you're buying into this right now.
Yeah, I totally hear you, Jason. Like, there is a friend of the podcast that kind of did that a little bit recently, and I didn't drop him as a friend or anything. I just don't engage him. But what I did was, like, on Facebook, I just unfollow him. I unfollowed him because he's always attacking somebody, and I really don't agree with the things he's saying. Like, you know, like, I'm a firm believer, like you were alluding to, like, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. Like, but people are so quick to judge, so quick to jump on the bandwagon, like you said. Like George Takei, like, you know, perfect example. Like, I really think, you know, as it turns out, it was just somebody looking for some publicity, you know, and here you have a 80-some-year-old man, you know, being accused of doing something he didn't do, you know, and it's very unfortunate that this is the world we live in.
Yeah.
I did a blog about this back in February, and honestly, I did record a supplemental episode where I discussed this in depth, but I never did release it, just because I didn't want to add to it. There was, back in earlier in the year, there was a voice actor, and a voice actor/actor that was being accused of being inappropriate with some female fans. And this, you know, this was being, put on one of the groups I was a part of on social media. And I commented, and my comment was, you know, like you were saying, you know, he's innocent until he's proven guilty. You know, I met him. He's a very, very, he was a very nice person. I witnessed him interacting with, you know, because of the voice acting he does and the acting he does attract a younger female audience. And so when I was standing in line to meet this person, there's a lot of, you know, younger girls, you know, my daughter's age, you know, maybe a little bit older. And I never saw him act inappropriate with anybody. And that was just my two cents. I added that to the thread, right? And man, did I get ripped apart. Like, people, were accusing me. Oh, just because, you know, you didn't see something, that means he's innocent, you know. And, you know, people were doing the rolling eyes emoji and all this other stuff. And I ended up getting into this, this exchange back and forth with the person that originally posted it. Because this person, the issue that I had at the time was this person had a personal vendetta against this other person. Like, the person that posted the, you know, the article or the comment about the allegations, he has a personal vendetta against this guy, right? So that's why he's stoking the fire. That's why he's, you know, throwing it out there. And I ended up not, you know, unfriending this guy and blocking this guy, this other guy that was stoking all of this, because, like, his hate and his, all of that, you know, was being directed at me now. And I don't know. Anyway, you know, I'm a firm believer, you know, like, the court of public opinion really doesn't matter. You know, what matters is facts. What matters is, innocent until proven guilty. Like, it's like back in the day, like when they used to, you know, have the lynch mobs, you know, it's like, that's what we're coming to again.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to hijack your...
Oh, no, it's fine. Well, it's like the other thing that I don't know why it irks me, but it's like when they harp on someone who's already passed away. I have like two other examples. One, I remember someone had drugged up this old interview from an old Playboy, I think it's back in the 70s, early 70s, of John Wayne.
Yeah.
And he, you know, expressed his opinions, you know, about like racism,
yep.
Homosexuality, everything else. And it's just kind of like, but for that time, that was socially acceptable.
Yeah.
It was, for that time, those mindsets, that's how they were.
Yes.
And exactly. It's like, but they drudge it up now. And with the feelings and how everyone is nowadays, it's like, oh, I can't believe he said that. We must ban, you know, it's just like, it can't, he's been dead for how long now?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what are you going to, you know, and they're saying, oh, we're going to change the name, you know, from the airport. It's no longer John Wayne. And it's like, really?
Yeah, that's
this was out in public for how many years and you're just now getting upset? Like, you know. The other one, too, was like the whole thing with Michael Jackson. And I remember how, like, especially when that documentary series or doco series or what came out,
yep.
How everyone was torn. And it was just kind of like, well, I really love his music, but I don't condone. If it is true, I don't condone what he did. And if it's, you know, I'm just kind of like, everyone was really just confused on what to do. I'm just kind of like, I grew up with his music. I'm going to continue listening to his music.
Yep.
You know, and it's just, like, the other one, I think I just, have you downloaded Disney Plus yet?
Yes, yep.
Yeah. On some of their shows or movies, like Dumbo, or I don't think they have Songs of the South on there yet, but on Dumbo and the small caption down below, right? That one's pushing it a little bit. But on the bottom of the descriptions and stuff, it also says contains views that are no longer socially acceptable within the movie or something of that nature. And I'm kind of like, really? Like, I have this box set of Looney Tunes. And like this Golden Age collection, and in the beginning of it, Whoopi Goldberg comes out, and she's kind of giving this introduction of these things, and then she also says these also have cultural differences and points of view and racism that are no longer prevalent today, but back then they were more social acceptable.
Yep.
And but to remove them would also saying that these things never existed and never happened, so we left everything intact. And I'm like, kind of like, I don't know. It is for things like that. It's just like the fact that you have to go those lengths to explain to someone so they don't get, you know, slapped with a lawsuit or something that because they got offended by watching these crows singing and dancing to Dumbo. I'm just it's like, or, you know, it's like, it's, I don't know. It just, there's some things where characteristics are blatantly obvious, like the super dark colors with the big lips and big floppy feet, and it's like that is that bamboozled style that is blatantly, it wasn't right to begin with, and it still is not right, but it is a cultural, you know, you can't hide those.
Yeah, but, I would agree. As far as the Disney thing, like, to be honest with you, that doesn't bother me as much, just for the fact that, you know, like for take all of us here, for example, we're all, you know, a little bit older, you know, like we come from a pre, you know, smartphone, pre, I wouldn't say pre-internet, but some of us, like I'm pre-internet, like I grew up in the 80s, you know. Okay. So, you know, like we remember.
A bicycle was there.
Yeah, like we remember. You know, like our grandparents and uncles or whatever that were older, and we, you know, as we got older and evolved, you know, things stopped being socially acceptable, and we saw that, like we saw those changes as they came. Yeah. But now, like for example, like our kids, you know, they may not know that, you know, those were, that was the way it was, like, back in those days. Like, I know, for example, talking with my daughter not too long ago about, you know, my grandpa, you know, like, he, you know, like, where he grew up, there was no vet, you know, so, you know, and when you didn't want a bunch of cats running around, you had to, you know, take care of, neuter your cat, right? And they did it themselves. And my daughter was just flabbergasted by that. You know, she's, they did what now? And, she, you know, and she's like, that, you know, that's barbaric. How could they do that? I'm like, hun, you know, back then, you know, to go to the vet, like, that was a big trip. Like, back, you know, you got to remember, back in those days, there were dirt roads. You know, not everyone had vehicles. Sure. You know, but they needed cats out, you know, at the farm, because they had to, you know, needed them to take care of the mice. You know, like, I mean, it was a serious issue. Like, they had to have these cats, and, you know, it's not like nowadays, so, like, where you can just jump in, you know, your vehicle, and, you know, you're within a half an hour from, you know, a vet clinic. You know, like that just didn't exist back then. And, you know, so I had to explain it to her, because she didn't quite understand, right? But again, she's from a generation where, you know, for me, you know, like, I'm telling, you know, like, we're talking about, actually, I was talking at work with some of my fellow employees that are a little bit younger than me about how back in the day, you know, I used to have two channels on TV, and I used to have to turn the antenna to tune into the one channel to watch Star Trek the Next Generation. And they were just, they couldn't believe it, because all of them, they grew up with cable, you know, like, they never, they didn't have to worry about antennas. Just like my daughter, you know, she's never grown up with Saturday morning cartoons, because that just isn't a thing anymore, you know, but for her, you know, she's got streaming. You know, for her kid, who knows? I don't know what's gonna happen, like, down the line. But, you know, like, those warnings and the, you know, getting back, I kind of went off a tangent here, but getting back to the Disney thing, like, I don't mind that part of it, that they kind of explain, because, you know, some people may not understand.
I think it's just a thought that irks me. It's just like, we're at that point where you have to literally watch everything, like,
well, and what you were saying about John Wayne there, like, I mean, to me, that's just ridiculous. Like, I mean, you know, like, that was a different era. He was a different generation. You know, like, I like, up here, one of our hockey commentators, celebrities, he got fired, you know, a couple weeks ago from the CBC, and he's been with the CBC for 40 plus years. He used to coach the Boston Bruins. His name's Don Cherry. You know, he's a Canadian cultural icon. Like, he does a commentary section Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada. It's the most watched television program in Canada. It's been the most watched television program in Canada for years. Every Saturday night he does what Coach's Corner. And he got fired just before Remembrance Day, or I'm not sure what you guys call it in the States. Veterans Day? November 11th? Veterans Day?
Yeah.
So up here, it's Remembrance Day. And he made a comment about new Canadians, about how they don't, like, up here, I don't know how it is in the States again. Do you guys wear poppies or anything like that for Veterans Day? Okay. So up in Canada, leading up to Remembrance, they sell poppies, like, at grocery stores, at gas stations, basically anywhere where there's a checkout. You can buy a poppy, and you put it on your jacket or your shirt.
They do that here in the smaller towns. They do.
Okay.
Like, the bigger cities and stuff, you really don't see it much, but more the smaller communities, they do that.
Okay. Well, I know in Britain it's a big thing, and I know in Canada it's a big thing, because we're part of the British Commonwealth, of course. So it's something that, you know, like, they usually come out, you know, basically a month before Remembrance Day. So they come out, you buy a poppy, you put a you know, a dollar or whatever into the bin, take a poppy, you put it on your jacket, and you wear it. Don Cherry made this comment on Coach's Corner about new Canadians not wearing poppies. And he said, you know, you people come to this country, you like our way of life, the least you could do is put a couple bucks and wear a poppy. You know, like, and that's all he said. And he got fired for that. He got fired because people were offended that he said, you people and new Canadians. So the people that were offended took what he said as being racist and being a bigot. But to me, he didn't say anything. He never mentioned race at all. Like, there's a lot of you know, using air quotes, new Canadians that are white people. You know, like, I mean, it's not a racial issue at all. But all the snowflakes, all the bleeding heart liberals, they all attacked him. And Sportsnet, that's actually who owns owns Hockey Night in Canada now, they fired him after 40 years of, you know, him making, you know, his commentaries. And believe me, he said a lot worse than this. It just, but we're in that day and age now where, like, everyone's offended. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, especially given, like, his job is to make, is to give his opinions. Like, that's essentially what he's being paid for. And, you know, like, with him, he does a lot of work with the Legion up here in Canada. Like, basically, the Legion is, like, who takes care of veterans, you know, that sort of thing. So, like, he's went overseas. Like, he's done, what do you call that? It's like what Bob Hope used to do and what some celebrities do. Like, when they go over and hang out with the troops and that sort of thing. He's done that. Like, he's literally spent Christmases overseas with the troops, you know, hanging out with them because he's, you know, a big supporter of them, and he's, you know, a champion for the vets. And this is what happens to him when he gives his opinion. And when people misconstrued his words as racism, like, to me, like, when you say you people, you know, that's not being racist. Like, that Greta Thunberg, you know, went to the UN and she, you know, was screaming at everyone saying, you people are, you know, killing our world. You people are doing this. And nobody thought she was racist. So why is he racist? But anyway, sorry. Again, sorry, Jason, I hijacked your...
But no,
that's
kind of why we threw those out there. Yeah,
that was actually one of my dishonorable mentions. I was going to bring that up, but all right, Kev, what's second on your list, sir?
Okay, hang on here. Let me go back a minute, and then I'll jump in.
Okay.
Don Cherry thing. And I see this as an American non-sports listener, watcher, whatever. I do see how you people got taken that way. But I think the reaction to it is where people failed and could have done things differently for his sake. Because, like, when we were growing up, there was always the tonight on a very special episode. And, you know, someone would turn around and say, what do you mean when you say you people? Oh, I didn't mean you. Well, of course you didn't mean me. I'm right in front of you. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
So I can understand them saying, well, he said that. All right. Well, there's a way for him to do a press conference next day or release a statement or something saying, hey, yes, this is what I said. But when we have people in the States say, I want to move to Canada, when we have people in Europe say, I want to move to Canada, and you do, and we welcome you with open arms, welcome us back, respect us back. You could have just had, you know, a little statement like that.
Well,
and in theory, people would have said, oh, okay, I understand what he meant now.
Well, that's the thing.
It could have gone away.
Well, he actually did do that. He actually did make a statement on the CTV network. He actually did do an interview the next day. This commentary was on a Saturday because it was Coach's Quarter. It actually didn't get noticed until like Monday. That's when all of a sudden, boom, 2 days later, it becomes an issue, which I find ironic because you'd think people would have made an issue of it immediately. But whatever, right? Yeah. I mean, people are making an issue of what John Wayne said in 1972, right? So it took a few days. So then he did do an interview with the CBC, I want to say on Tuesday, like the next day after he was fired. Because he literally, after this became an issue, he got fired like that same day, which was the Monday. And then he did an interview with CTV on Tuesday. And he did say, I shouldn't have said you people. Like, he did say, like, I can see why some people may have took that the wrong way. But that's, you know, he said, like, that was not my intention. But apparently Sportsnet basically told him, like, you're going to make a statement where you apologize to immigrants and you're going to apologize to this. And he's like, no, like, I'm not apologizing for what I said. And then they also told him like that basically, cause his coach's corner, like when you watch it, he's just shooting off the cuff, kind of like what we're doing here. Like, to be honest with you, dear listener, you know, I don't do a script. Like some podcasts you listen to, they do a script. We do this off the cuff. Like I don't give Jason or Kevin a script. I don't write a script. I just don't have the time. We just do this, you know, back and forth. Right. And to be honest, like right now, what we're talking about, this is completely not scripted. This is us speaking our minds, and that's the way Don Cherry is too. Like, he is not a scripted person. They basically told him, like, you're going to follow a script from now on, and this is and it's going to be approved and all this other stuff. And he said, no, I'm not agreeing to that. I'm not doing that. And then they said, okay, well, you're fired, and that's what happened. And actually, now he's doing a podcast, ironically, where he is still sharing his commentaries on everything. But I mean, to be honest with you, it's not the end of the world for Don. Like, he's 85 years old. Yeah. You know, he's kind of like William Shatner. Like, he just keeps going and going and going and going. My fear is, if now that he doesn't have his job, I think he might be one of them guys that when they retire, it doesn't take lawn and he's no longer here. But to add to this a little bit, there's a show on CTV called The Social, and it's kind of like The View, like in the States, where you have, you know, all these ladies sitting around a table and they're giving their opinions on stuff, right? And this one lady, like they were talking about the Don Cherry thing, and the one woman that was on there went on this rant about hockey players being bullies and parents of hockey players being bullies and being jerks and all this other stuff. And there was backlash from her comments. Like, people were outraged at what she was saying, but she didn't get fired because she's on a show where she's being paid to give her, you know, opinions. You know, if you start censoring people for giving their opinions, then is it really an opinion anymore? Like, if you tell them what they have to say, like, how is that, you know? So anyway, she didn't get fired, but Don Cherry got fired. I don't know how that works. But anyway, Kev, sorry. Again, I'm hijacking tonight. I'm sorry.
But we've all said stuff, and the moment it's out, realize, oh, that did not come out right at all. That didn't come across how I meant it. And I feel intent goes a long way for things.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you know, we're having a conversation, you say something, and we both realize, okay, that sounded awful. And out of context, that sounds terrible. But within the context of the conversation and the point you're trying to make, it's fine, we're cool, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said stuff goofing around and realized, oh, that sounded terrible. I didn't mean it that way. No one took it that way. We all have a laugh of like, oh, yeah, it did. But within the greater conversation, it's fine.
Yep.
And I'll give everyone, you know, one, two, whatever, you know, over a career, over a lifetime. Okay, you did something out of frustration, out of anger, out of a bad day, out of whatever. And as soon as it's out, you go, ah, geez, I shouldn't have done that. But sometimes you get so ramped up, you can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll also start to go back to the cancel culture point. One or two things for any celebrity. You know, maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe we're not in the full side of things. Maybe someone's twisting it. Maybe someone's extorting them. Maybe they had a bad day. But when we get to 5, 10, 20, okay, there's probably something legit here, and this person needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
I've known there's a big nasty thing over something said on a wrestling show this week. And I know enough people in that world that tell things that they're not supposed to tell in certain corners of the internet. They're like, yeah, he is this way, and he says worse in private, and he just got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And we can give 20 examples over the last 2 years. Okay, then he deserves to be fired. But someone, you know, like, just making a mistake, wording it poorly? No. Maybe do a fine, maybe do an apology, and we all move on.
Yep.
Yeah. But I'll kind of segue into my second one, and it's, again, a rant I've done before, but it's reading the headline and not the article.
Yes.
So we had my big example, and this was a New York State thing, so I'm not sure how far out it went. The governor of New York State, Cuomo, the son of the 80s governor of New York State, was doing an interview, and he was saying when he was growing up as a child, as a very dark-skinned Italian boy, he had certain racial slurs dropped on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke those words. He didn't say the N-word. He actually said it, in addition to other ones. The point he was making was, hey, I can empathize. Because I was such a dark-skinned Italian boy, I had that hate thrown at me.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I myself am not black, I can empathize. And that's why I'm trying to do certain things and help certain people. This is a fantastic point in an interview. What's the headline? Governor Cuomo says N-word. Oh, all right. Well, that headline alone sounds terrible.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing? Is he, I'm saying this as a joke for a previous point, is he saying that as you people? You know?
Yeah.
No, he's not. Within the context of the entire interview, this is a fine point and a perfectly acceptable use of that word in this larger interview.
Yeah.
But the headline, oh my God, let me clutch my pearls. It's right. People taking one part of the thing and not looking at the whole story. We can even take it to our usual topic of comics. My dad called me. They killed Captain America? No. No, I went out and I bought it because they said it's going to be worth money. It's death. And I read it. He was shot. Yes, he was. Well, he's dead. No. And finally, I forget who was writing Cap at the time, but he said, this is a chapter of a bigger story. If we're just taking, you know, someone's death as the whole story, then everyone from Jesus to Harry Potter died. Uh-huh. But as part of the entire story, they come back.
Yeah.
So you can't just take this one little tiny piece of a story and think you have the whole story. Please, don't just read the headline on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Read the whole article and actually inform and educate yourself.
Well, yeah. Like, obviously, they use the headline to sell, you know.
Oh, it's clickbait for sure.
Well, that's the thing. Like, now we live in that day and age where, yeah, like we have the clickbait where, you know, the more clicks they get, you know, the more money they're going to make, right? And
do either of you follow Film Clickbait on Twitter?
I don't think so.
Fantastic one. They'll quote tweet headlines, and it'll be a headline for oh, geez, I don't know, Variety or something like that. And I'll say, find out here when Ben Affleck is playing Batman again. And then the headline, they'll be like, he's not. Like, just saves you the click.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually, now that you mention that, I think I've seen that before, yeah. No, I appreciate that they're doing that.
Oh, I do too. If you have a legit article you're writing up, I will read it. Hey, here's our exclusive interview with Joaquin Phoenix about the Joker. Okay, cool. Find out who... I can't even think of BS one enough. Because I don't think that way to come up with these terrible ones.
Yeah.
You know, find out how The Mandalorian ends, and then it's like, well, yeah, you need to watch it December 8th, or, you know, whatever last episode is.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm clicking on your article for that spin and twist and a nothing article.
Yeah.
If you give me actual content, I'll read it all day long.
Okay. So, pay platforms not meeting their obligations. That's number two on my list. And what I mean is, you know, we got the Kickstarters, we got the Indiegogos, we've got Patreon. A lot of these, you know, like, people can, you know, make a book or whatever, you know, if they're a cosplayer or whatever, and you can support, you know, these artists, these writers, these artists, these, you know, whatever the field may be. But, you know, when they have certain obligations that they, you know, they put out there, like, if I get, you know, this much money, I will do this. If I get this much money, I will do that. If you're, you know, like a tier one supporter, you know, you'll get a button. If you're a tier two supporter, you'll get a DVD, you know, or whatever the project may be. Like, for, I'll use a good example, and then I'll use a bad example. So, you know, a friend of the podcast, George Pappy, he was a gentleman that did a documentary called The Green Girl, which I highly recommend. I really enjoyed that documentary. It's about Susan Oliver, who played the original Green Girl on the original pilot for Star Trek, The Cage. So he did this documentary about her, and he did it, I want to say it was Kickstarter. And... you know, and he needed this money to complete this project. So he got enough people to contribute that he was able to do this. So he laid it out in a plan, like, you know, if I can get, you know, this much money, I will, or, like, actually, no, it was a tier system. So if you donate, say, $25, you get, you know, a digital copy of the movie when it's released. If you donate $50, you get a DVD, plus you get a t-shirt or whatever the case may be. And if you're, you know, $100 backer, you get this and this and this and so on and so forth. So I contributed to this project because I believed in it. You know, George, I did an interview with him on my podcast that I was doing at the time. And he since, you know, come back and he's done a number of podcast episodes with me over the years. And George's a great guy. He grew up in Hollywood. He grew up, you know, with a lot of knowledge of you know, the ins and outs of Hollywood. Like he's a great person to have on the show. And he fulfilled all his obligations. You know, he got the money to do his documentary. He did it. Everything that was, like, in my donation tier, I got. You know, like, I got a t-shirt that, you know, that was promised. I got the DVD. I got a digital copy. I got a few other things. I can't remember. But everything on his list for, you know, if you donate, I will give you this and I will do this. He did it. And I applaud him. I can't say enough great things about, you know, that experience. But there were other experiences. There was a few other Kickstarters that I funded or contributed to that never went anywhere. I, you know, like the one, I think it was for a graphic novel. This guy was doing a graphic novel and it sounded interesting. And he said, you know, if I get this money, you know, I'll do this graphic novel and you'll get a copy of it. And that's what'll happen. So I donated my money. I think it was $50 and I got nothing. Like, it never happened. I honestly don't know what happened. I don't know if he took the money and ran. I don't know. I never got it back. I should go to Kickstarter and ask, I should raise an issue about it. But to be honest with you, I donated to this and I completely forgot about it. And then it was like a couple of years later, I'm like, hey, wait a second. Wasn't I supposed to get a graphic novel or something from this guy? Yeah. And then there's another example I want to throw out there, Patreon. It's kind of like that where, you know, you got, you know, these different artists and they have these obligations, these tiers that, you know, if you do this, they'll do this. The one Patreon that I contribute to every month is for a podcast. It's called The Comic Conspiracy. And it's honestly, I've mentioned it before, it's my favorite comic book podcast. You know, it's recorded at a comic book store in, I think, Sunnyvale, California. And, you know, it's a group of guys sitting around a table talking about comic books. And it's an interesting podcast. The gentleman that runs the podcast also owns the store. And so he's, you know, giving you, you know, numbers. He's giving you, like, sales figures, that sort of thing. Like an insider's, you know, comic book store's insight into the comic book industry. It's very great. It's a very great podcast. I like contributing to it. But what one thing he does is if you're a Patreon backer, like I'm a low tier backer. I don't like, I think it's like $5 a month. I contribute, but, you know, for my $5 a month, he mentions, you know, all the Patreon, like for one episode out of the month, he mentions all the Patreon backers. So my name gets thrown out there once a month. But also on Patreon, where you can ask a question, like, you know, whatever the question is, you know, whatever you want to ask, it could be, you know, about the business side of comics. It could be, you know, what's your opinion on this? Are you watching this? What do you think? You know, whatever. And you can submit your question to Patreon, and they actually discuss it on the show every week. And I've done that several times where I've asked a question, and it gets answered. It's awesome. Like, I really don't mind paying $5 a month for this podcast because, you know, I get to ask questions, they get answered, and, you know, I'm a big fan of the content. But there's another person on Patreon, I'm not going to say who it is, that I contribute to every month because he's one of my favorite writers. He's a writer, he's a comic book writer, he's a novelist, he's one of my all-time favorites. And one of the things about Patreon, one of the obligations that he says is that, you know, he will answer, you know, any Patreon question first. Anything new, you know, any new content or whatever will come to Patreon first. Well, you know, I can't remember when Harlan Ellison died, you know, what was it, a year ago, earlier this year? I can't really remember. I think it was a year and a half ago, maybe. When he died, I asked him a question about Harlan Ellison because he had interactions with Harlan Ellison. He knew Harlan Ellison on a personal level. So I asked him a question about Harlan Ellison. Now, all, you know, however long it's been since Harlan's passed, he has yet to answer my question. He has yet to respond to me at all. And it's like, hey, I thought the whole point of this whole Patreon thing was you said you would answer our questions. You're not answering our questions. And he hasn't put any new content on his Patreon feed since, like, September. So, like, I've contributed for October and November to his Patreon for nothing, essentially. You know, and it frustrates me. You know, like, when people, you know, like, these pay platforms, you know, like, you're paying for something, and the person that you're paying towards is not meeting their obligations. Another example is, you know, it's been in the headlines, Star Trek fan films. There's this one Star Trek fan film that was in development, which made a lot of money on one of the, I think it was Kickstarter, or maybe it was Indiegogo, I can't remember. And basically,
this, I think I know what.
Yeah. Basically, they were, and plus, like, they weren't, okay, so they did this Kickstarter for the Star Trek fan film, but they weren't abiding by the rules set out by CBS, you know, like, they got this money, and they were paying themselves a salary, and they were, you know, spending this money, this crowdfunded money for personal things that they weren't supposed to. And then what happened was all the Star Trek fan films, basically CBS shut them down. They said, we're not doing this anymore. You know, like, the whole thing with CBS is they let people make fan films about Star Trek. They could, you know, wear the uniforms. They could, you know, recreate the bridge. They could recreate, the ships and whatever. But they weren't allowed to make a profit from it. That's the bottom line. CBS said, and you are not allowed to make money off our property, off our intellectual property. That is not allowed. And then this guy doing this Kickstarter for this, or whatever it was, for this fan film, did just that.
Was it the Renegades?
No, it wasn't. But I don't want to throw it out. I don't want to point it out. But it wasn't Renegades. I think Renegades, unfortunately, and Star Trek Continues is another one, they unfortunately got screwed over because of this other guy making the Star Trek fan film. Like, they basically got shut down because of what he did. And so this film didn't get made, and people were owed a lot of money. Like, it was in the millions of dollars they raised for this movie that never got made. I think they're making, like, 2 15-minute shorts. Like, I think he made a deal with CBS, like, hey, I gotta do something. I took all these people's money. I have to do something. And they're letting him, I think. But at the same time, you know, a lot of people got screwed over. Because, I mean, this movie was supposed to come out, like, 3 years ago. And it didn't happen. But, anyway, that was my second one. So, Jason, what is number two on your list, sir?
There's a few. I think one of the bigger ones, I know I've probably mentioned in the past, is the lack of knowledge for certain topics, or just lack of knowledge in general. It just seems like, I don't know, especially with some of the people that I work with, it's not that they're, like, sheltered or anything else, it's just kind of like they're just naive to the fact of, like, history,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just like, I remember I had one kid, he was, like, a senior in high school, and the topic came up, it was, like, we're discussing World War II or something like that, and he literally thought, the course of, like, World War II, that it was only like a month long thing.
Wow.
Yeah, like he didn't realize the time span of the years that this went on, and it was just kind of like he was completely, I mean, he didn't know who the presidents were, like, you know, like who Abraham Lincoln was on the $5 bill. He's like, some old guy. I'm like, oh my. Okay. Well, you're stuck in dish pit now. We're just going to leave you over there. But it's like, it's literally just kind of, or if I have to, like, I make a reference. I mean, sometimes some people just don't get, like music references, or if you make a kind of a nerdy TV show reference or a movie reference or something, I don't expect people to get it 100% all the time.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, you know, but there's times where you're sitting there kind of like, this was a, you know, like if you make a reference to Endgame and they're just like, what's that? It's like, really? How do you not, you know, it's like, or it's, I run into people who have no idea, they've never seen Star Wars. They have never watched any Star Wars. And to me, that kind of flips my mind. It's just like, I think on a more serious note, is like the actual lack of education. And it's like stuff I'm noticing too, like with my kids, is like schools are pushing them along.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not, at least down here in the States, or at least it's like they're just pushing them along. Every once in a while, I have a really good teacher, and I try to keep my kids with that teacher.
Yep.
But it's like they just, the last few, like Jackson has had a problem. Like his fourth grade teacher just pushed him along. So he went into the fifth grade without all the tools he needed. So he's struggling, and the teacher he has, thank God she's, you know, saw it and realized, so she kind of went back, retaught him everything, got him caught up with the class, and now he's moving forward. You know, and it's just kind of like, it's, and I'm beginning to see that too with this younger generation coming in, and it's just kind of like, they don't want to learn, they don't care, and it's just like, it's becoming very frustrating, because it's like, how can you change things without knowing the past?
Yeah. You know, I totally see what you're saying. Like, and to be honest, this, in my opinion, this has been coming for a while. You know, like going back to talking about Harlan Ellison, you know, like after he died, I went on YouTube and watched a lot of his commentaries that he did for Sci-Fi Buzz back in the 90s. And I know one of the things that he commented a lot on and was really pushing for was that as a society, we're becoming more illiterate. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of guilty of this myself, in that I don't read as much as I should. You know, I read comic books. I do. But to be honest with you, my book reading has declined a lot because I'm watching a lot more TV and a lot more films than I used to. You know, and back in the 90s, Harlan Ellison was saying, you know, like, our kids are watching too much TV and not doing enough reading. And, you know, when we don't learn of our history, we're doomed to repeat it. And, you know, and it is crazy, like, how, you know, like you're saying, these kids go through school. Like, I learned about World War II in school. But you know, and you were saying, like, with your son, you know, being pushed through, you know, like with my daughter, you know, she's in grade 8. And it really astounded me, because I brought her with me to, like, on, like I had mentioned earlier, November 11th was Remembrance Day in Canada. And we always go to my hometown, which is, I live half an hour away from, and for Remembrance Day ceremonies. And I brought my daughter with me this year, because, you know, I've missed the last few years because I was working, but this year I had it off. So I said, you know, we're going to Remembrance Day ceremonies. And it was kind of shocking how little she actually knew about World War II. How little she knew about our own history. You know, for example, you know, yeah. I told her, like, you know, my grandpa, your great grandpa, you know, he was gone for 3 years. He left his home and went away to war, and he didn't come back for 3 years. You know, like you were saying about the one guy you worked with, you know, thought it was a month or whatever, and it's like, no, like my grandpa, he didn't get involved right at the beginning of the war either. You know, he missed out on a few years, but I mean, 3 years of his life gone. Like, he was, you know, and back then that was a big thing. Like, you know, like you couldn't just call home, you know, like you could write a letter and it would get, you know, take months to get back home. But, you know, just to me, it's crazy how, you know, how we're forgetting, you know, our own past. And like I said, you know, I share in some of that guilt or some of that blame as well, you know, because maybe I should have been pushing my daughter, like, in for this example, maybe I should have been you know, pushing the history a little bit more with her, like our own family history. But yeah, it to me, it's just crazy, like, you know, how little, you know, like she knew about World War II. And I realize it, you know, was, you know, a long time ago. And I guess for me, it was more prevalent. It was more in my face because growing up, my grandpa was around. You know, he lived it.
Yeah.
You know, his, yeah. You know, his, my grandma's brothers both went to war as well. Like, you know, like the veterans were all around. Like, when I was a kid and I used to go to the Remembrance Day ceremonies, it was packed with veterans. Oh, yeah. You know, like, there were so many World War II veterans. This year, when we went to our hometown Legion, there was one veteran. One World War II veteran. Like, I mean, there was other veterans. Like, there's, you know, more recent conflicts and so on and so forth. You know, not to yeah. knock them or anything. But, you know, like, when growing up, it's like, I remember, I think we even had a few World War I vets, like, when I was really little. And now they're, you know, they're gone, and most of the World War II vets are now gone. And it's kind of sad that, you know, as a society, we're kind of forgetting.
Yeah.
But anyway, again, I keep hijacking, but, you know, I guess host prerogative, I guess. Sorry, guys. So for you, Jason, lack of knowledge in general, that is an annoying thing. Not,
yeah.
not just in pop culture, but in life.
Yeah, it's kind of... Well, like, the other one I was going to bring up was the stuff that's blatantly, obviously not fact. And it's like the whole flat Earth people. You know? Yeah. And it's just kind of like either they're trolling the crap out of, like, everyone else, or it's like they are... just gullible as all hell, but it's more or less entertaining. I mean, it's annoying to me that they think that, but at the same time, it's kind of entertaining to watch people that are legitimate scientists and people who are involved with NASA and other space programs, and or you have your celebrity scientists like Bill Nye, or you have Neil deGrasse Tyson, and it's just kind of like they're both like, what is wrong with you? Like, why would you even think that would even be, you know? And at that point, it's entertaining for me to watch them just roast the crap out of this group of people. But it's, I don't know, the fact that they've gotten to that point where they literally think, like, that is fact. It is true. It's like, really, are you going to also assume that we're riding on top of a giant turtle?
That would be cool. That would be cool.
But, oh no, that would be awesome.
But not realistic. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's just it's things like that just kinda like I just kinda at this point I'm like maybe I should just leave the internet for a little while. I don't know.
I hear you. All right. This is our second edition of Annoying Things in Pop Culture. But before we move on to our Ender segment, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet. And Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me, and I know the bookmark's updated because I get Jason's blog to my new email now. But you can find me at Masked Ephemera on WordPress, on Twitter, Facebook page, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Excellent. And Jason, where can we find you, sir?
I just reactivated nerdylifeofmine.com, and so I've been neglecting it. I think real life has been in the way, but it's up and running again, and I'm definitely going to try and get that, be more active with everything. But nerdylifeofmine.com, and I think nerdyviking42 is my Twitter handle now. So
awesome. All right. Well, for me, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at chrislock1701. That's CHRISLOC1701. I do a blog. It's called Random Nerdness. You can check that out at randomnerdness.blogspot.com. And I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to download and or listen to this podcast. We appreciate any feedback you can give us. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and at podbean.com. Also, we'd like to hear from you. You can contact me. I'm the producer of this podcast. My email is chrisloc1701@yahoo.ca. Or you can contact me on the social media platforms, as I have already mentioned, at chrislock1701. We are known as the Pop Culture Pub and Podcast on Facebook. We have a group there. Be sure to check that out and ask to join, and I will allow you to join. I also manage a group on Facebook called The Incredible Fans of The Incredible Hulk. So be sure to check them out also on Facebook. All right, so this is the part of the episode where, if you want, you can check out, because we are going to move on to a segment called Enders, where we discuss more dated material, like stuff that's taking place at the time of this recording. So, without further ado, let's move into our Enders segment. All right, gentlemen, I got a couple things for Enders, and if you guys have anything you want to talk about, feel free. First up, I think my question to you, gentlemen, is Disney Plus. Do you like it? Is it a success in your mind? I gotta tell you, two thumbs up for me. I downloaded it the day it was released. I watched the first episode of The Mandalorian that day. I've since watched the second episode of The Mandalorian. Third episode comes out tomorrow. Two big thumbs up. The Mandalorian, amazing. Like, so good. I just love it. And, you know, I've just kind of been browsing through the content on Disney Plus. Like, there's some things that are not there yet that I'm kind of hoping eventually they will, but I mean, they're just launching. Like, I mean, it's going to take some time before they get Condor Man on there. But anyway, all right. Well, Jason, what are your thoughts on Disney Plus?
I liked it. I mean, I expected bugs when they dropped it. I mean, through Verizon, I got a 1 year free.
Nice.
So
nice.
It's, you know, I'm not going to knock it, you know, for being a free, but, mm-hmm. I enjoy the content. I was having so many flashbacks of just kind of like Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers to, like, you know, Gargoyles to even like the Gummy Bears. I was just kind of like, my queue is like full of like the old Saturday morning cartoons I used to watch.
Okay, cool. And, like, real quick, you have Gummy Bears on there?
Yeah.
See, it's not available in Canada. Like, I looked for Gummy Bears. I got no Gummy Bears. I was very disheartened. That's why I'm saying, like, they might roll out more stuff. Like, maybe Disney Plus is a little bit different in Canada. I know Netflix is different in Canada than it is in the States. So maybe there is some differences here with Disney Plus. But one thing I'll ask you guys also. So I did check out Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Like I didn't actually sit through a whole episode. Like, I just kind of watched the beginning theme songs and just to kind of like bring myself back, you know, to watching, you know, the Disney afternoon on Saturdays and Sundays. But one thing I noticed is Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, for whatever reason, it's in like HD quality, but then Darkwing Duck is not in HD quality. I don't know if that's just a Canadian thing or if that's the same down there, but
I know they've been having like ratio issues, like Simpsons. Like, I guess they got a lot of flack on that because it wasn't like a widescreen or anything. It was like made for like a full screen type deal, so there was a lot of content that was cut. And unfortunately, with Simpsons, a lot of it's a visual gag. So if you don't see everything, you won't get the joke.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know they have a lot of the problems, like the original content's completely fine, but I know some of the other things that they ported over, like the ratios and the quality isn't as great. If you were to compare, I know like Gargoyles and stuff, while it looks good, it seems a little grainier compared to like Rescue Rangers.
Yes, yes. But yeah, that's crazy. You guys got gummy bears. Because that was one that I did look up, and we do not have it yet, as of yet. Maybe you guys do have Condor Man down there. I don't know. Maybe.
I didn't see it. I can probably look, but
that's been one of the big ones people are looking for, actually, so I know it's not on there.
Oh, okay. So, Kev, what are your thoughts on Disney Plus?
I mean, honestly, I wish I had more time to dig through all of it. I did the first two Mandalorian already,
which is
fantastic. Mm-hmm. And not to give it away for anyone that hasn't seen it yet, but it is possible I have holds on Lone Wolf and Cub at the library. Because it's definitely inspired by... my wife is doing the new DuckTales cartoon and loving that. The voice cast is incredible on it. If you don't know who the voices are,
David Tennant is Scrooge McDuck.
He's so good.
Oh, he's awesome. He's
so good in that role. I did Marvel Exploring the Universe, I think, and it's pretty much like Kevin Feige Comic Con hype video and all the shows coming on Disney Plus.
Yes, I saw that too.
Concept art and stuff in it.
That's on my queue. I've been wanting to watch that.
It's worth it just for the concept art to get an idea of what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then what I'm diving into is all the Disney XD Marvel cartoons that I just was not able to watch. Ultimate Spider-Man is just teenage Peter Parker. Joining S.H.I.E.L.D. and teaming up with other heroes, but it's got the Teen Titans Go kind of humor to it, of like all of a sudden you'll see his thoughts and it's, you know, a video game graphic or emojis or whatever, but it's fun. It's what teenage Peter Parker in, you know, 2010s should be. So that one's been loads of fun. I can't wait to make my way through that even more. There's a lot that's not on there, correct. Black Cauldron is on there, which is one that I missed in my childhood, so I wanted to watch. The Wuzzles is not on there.
Yes, yeah.
But also, yeah, it shouldn't be, because Disney should have something to say, oh, hey, Merry Christmas, here's some new content.
Yes, yep.
Hey, it's first of the year, here's some new... not new, but fresh content for here. They should. That's what any service should do. Hey, did you sign up yet? No? Well, guess what? Here's much more stuff. Maybe that's enough. Or, hey, did you watch everything you're excited about? Well, here's much more stuff. Like, that's what they should do.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with waiting a bit. But going through... They need an update for their interface, too. I don't like how the search works. It doesn't hold your space. It's the Simpsons problem we talked about. Yeah, and the DuckTales and what is it? There's one other series. One of the Star Wars cartoons are not in order.
Yeah.
So the order is a little bit. But I mean,
Rebels was it?
You had 10 million people sign up day one. Guess what? Stuff's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's definitely bugs to work out for sure, and like you said, like they're definitely going to roll out more of their original or previous content, you know, like past content as time goes on. Definitely.
Yeah, and there's nothing that's not forgivable or just a learning process.
Yep.
By the year anniversary, you're going to say this is amazing. They got these bugs worked out. They added this. They changed this. It's wonderful.
Yep. Well, and not only that, but they still have a lot of content that they're not able to put on there yet because of other agreements with other streaming services that are in place. But once those come out of you know, once those obligations are met, you're going to see even more content coming on that they weren't able to put on there. Like, I don't know how it works with you guys down in the States, but for example, like Avengers Endgame is on Disney Plus, but Avengers Infinity War is not. In Canada.
Right. But it states, too, they got to wait for the Netflix deal to run out for it.
Yes, exactly. And then, yeah, like, from what I've read, I don't know how true this is, but I think, like, the Marvel Netflix shows, once that agreement has expired, those shows will default to Disney Plus, from what I understand.
2021.
Yeah, so, you know, I imagine there are other arrangements that are in place that, you know, things are going to start defaulting, and Disney Plus will be able to pick them up. But yeah, I mean, you know, for just, you know, having launched, you know, I think they did an amazing job. You know, I'm loving it. Absolutely.
Have either of you done the Imagineering, Exploring, Imagineering, whatever it's called yet? Like the behind the scenes of how they do stuff at Disney?
No, I have. Like, is that a series, or is that just a documentary, or both?
It's supposed to be a series, I thought.
Okay, no, I haven't jumped into that yet. There's so much, not just Disney Plus, I haven't watched it. Have you caught that yet, Kev?
No, I want to. It's in my list, but like you're saying, there's so much across everything. And that's just the video between audio and books and everything, too. Like, mm-hmm. I was sitting down today thinking, I might need to write a list. So when I sit down and think, okay, I only got a half hour. What do I want to watch that's half hour? I don't spend 10 minutes figuring it out. I have, like, okay, here's my schedule of things I want to get through. Here's a half hour show. Here's an hour show. Here's a hard read. Here's an easier read. You know, let me play this in my car. For, you know, audio. Like, I think I'm going to have to schedule it to get through all the stuff I want to enjoy.
Exactly. Because, you know, not only is there Disney Plus, we still got Netflix, and they're still rolling out great content themselves. So, the next point I wanted to talk about was a couple of series that launched the same... Or the weekend that Disney Plus launched on a Tuesday, so on that weekend, Netflix released season 3 of The Toys That Made Us. It's a documentary series about toys and toy lines, and then they also unveiled season 3 of The Crown, which I was a huge fan of season 1 and 2, and I think 4 episodes into season 3, and so far so good. But The Toys That Made Us, that's one thing I wanted to touch on for sure, as far as pop culture goes. So have either of you watched any previous seasons of The Toys That Made Us?
I watched the one that was about the Star Wars toys.
Yep.
Was the toy company's name again, sort of the K.
Oh, I can't remember.
But anyways, I watched that one, and I watched the He-Man one, but I haven't watched any since.
Yeah, I can't even remember if the... I think those were season 1, but yeah. And Kev, have you checked this out at all?
Yeah, I watched all previous episodes. I have not watched this recent batch of 4.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love this show.
I'm going to. It just hasn't happened.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There's so much to watch. Like, it's an embarrassment of riches. It really is. But yeah, this season they did it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Obviously, that's my favorite episode this season. It was awesome. They did a... Kev, you'll enjoy this. They did a wrestling episode.
I heard there's a good story of someone stealing a merchandise license in there.
Yeah, yeah, no, that was also. I don't want to ruin it for you, but it was a great episode. And then there's a My Little Pony episode, which I started watching. Because it's actually kind of, like, that's the thing. Like, I've watched, I think, every episode of every previous iteration of this show. Because I know they did a Barbie episode. What else did they
which
do?
Which was good.
Yes, it was.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And same with My Little Pony. Like, I mean, they got, I can't remember the character's name. Because my daughter used to watch the newest version of My Little Pony, the cartoon, and John DeLancey, yeah, who plays Q on Star Trek Next Generation, he does the voice.
He's Discord.
Yes, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think he's a dragon.
What? I don't know.
Yeah. Are you?
He's more of a chimera of things.
Are you a brony, Kev?
I wouldn't use that term.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with being a brony, because that, again, I haven't got to that part of the episode yet, because like I said, I just started watching it. I think I got about 15 minutes in. But yeah, they're talking about bronies, about gentlemen that enjoy My Little Pony, because that is a movement. But what was the other? I can't remember what the fourth episode is this season.
Is it Power Rangers?
Oh, right. Yes, Power Rangers. But, I mean, previous seasons, they did Transformers, G.I. Joe, like Jason mentioned, He-Man, Star Wars, Barbie. You know, it's such a good show. I really love it. And I highly recommend the Ninja Turtles episode, if anything, for the end of the episode. Because the end of the episode, it ends on such...
It got spoiled to me, but yeah, I want to see it.
Oh man, does it hit you in the feelers, man? Like it amazing. Like they did such a good job. So yeah, now you know we got Disney Plus, but then Netflix is dropping all this gold on our laps as well. And not just that, but I don't know if you guys have been watching the Watchmen TV show. That is awesome. And there's what's it called? His Dark Materials.
Yep.
Which looks awesome, but I have not had a chance to watch it yet. It's on my PVR. There's just so much content out there. It's crazy. All right. Well, I guess we will call this an episode. So thank you again, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to us talk about pop culture, and we will see. Oh, I should mention our next episode. This is what we're planning. We're going to talk about the Mandela effect. And the reason why I want to do this as an episode is we had a good discussion. Like there's a bunch of us at work. It was during, you know, one of our lunch breaks or whatever. We really got into a really crazy discussion about the Mandela effect and some of the things that may or may not have changed, like the Monopoly Man. In my mind, he wears a monocle, but yeah, Apparently he never did and never has. But in my mind's eye, like, yeah. Uncle, what's his name again? Uncle Moneybags?
Rich Uncle Moneybags? Penny
Bet? Yeah, something like that. But, you know, I always remember him with a monocle. But apparently, he's never had a monocle. Ever.
I'm going to go pull out my Monopoly board. I'm curious now, because he wore one.
Yeah, so it's things like this that we're going to be talking about in our next episode. We're going to be talking about the Mandela effect. All right. Well, thank you very much, dear listener, and we will see you in the future. When that sketchy lose it all, security comes through.